How many of y'all in the presence of God today? Thank you, worship team. Give this worship team. Come on, let's, you know, to be in the presence of God, there couldn't be a better message communicated to fathers today than what has been communicated today in music. Fathers, I want you to know, I thank God for being a father. How many of y'all thank God for being a father? The privilege of being a father. You got to be a father. Now, I'm gonna talk. I know a little bit about fathering, but not a whole lot about fathering because I'm still in the father journey. And one of the things I want you to know about being a father, so you young men that are not married, you be careful with your conduct. Because if you're not careful with your conduct, you can be a father before you want to be. And the thing about fathering, it's serious business. A lot of people can have a child. Few people can be a father and a mother. And if you really want to know, this is my opinion that's very accurate. One of the reasons we're seeing what we see in this nation today, and if you're happy with what you see in this nation today, I really ask you to come to the altar and ask God to give you some sense. Because He created you to have sense. Fathers, it's the lack of fathering. Clacy, one of the things she's doing this summer is she's keeping 4 children. This will prevent her from being married a long time. And so her first week of these 4 children, she calls her mom the second day and she says, "Our dad would have killed us if we act like this." Now, I want you to know, part of that is reflecting the image of God. Fathers, one of the things that we do is we're constantly on the give. And so we give opportunity, and we also give boundaries. And if you're not a father that doesn't give you, watch this, if you're a father that said no, you're not much of a father. If you haven't said no, you're not much of a father. But guess what? If you haven't said yes a lot more than you've said no, you're not much of a father. You need to have a lot more yeses, but guess what? There's some no's. No, don't go do that because I want the best for you. How many of you, let's start here with fathering. Go with me to Luke chapter 15. The next 3 Sundays, I want you to be in prayer. I think God's going to do something with this congregation. He's going to move our direction and re-energize our purpose in the next 3 Sundays if you all dedicate that to prayer. We're going to be in a parable that Jesus teaches in the Gospel of Luke 15 chapter, and we're going to preach 3 Sundays on the same parable. And today is the parable from the perspective of the father. Next week, we're going to talk about the elder son, and then the last week, we're going to talk about the renegade younger son. And so there's 3 perspectives in this, and each one of them merit the message on their own. Today, it's the perspective of a father, and if you'll go with me to Luke chapter 15, and I'll give you the exact verse here in just a second. You all know me. I don't do well with all these numbers. You know, there's a message here, and there never were numbers in the Bible to Erasmus, and I'm going to punch him when I get to heaven for doing it. Because that's why everybody gets so messed up. They read a part of the story, and they don't get the rest of it. 11, verse 11. It is verse 11, yes. Oh, it's on the screen. Verse 11. But I want us to pray before we do that, okay? Now listen, fathers, first of all, happy Father's Day. And if you're a father, you need to thank God for that privilege. My father sits in the back, and this year, I've hit the half-century mark. It's kind of weird for me because I got a revision because, David, I didn't plan on living this long. And I participated in some events that could have shortened that. But you know what? God saw fit to leave me here. My father's been with me through my whole journey. Now, that we don't always get that privilege. But right now, my father's still with me. And, Dad, I just want to say not just happy Father's Day, but the older I get, the more seasoned I become, the more thankful I am for a father that was a father. My dad was a father. My dad has always had principles. He's had standards. He's had a vision. When I look at the prodigal son's father, I see my dad. And one of the things my dad learned to do from the time he was born, I think, and it was given to him by God, is to give opportunity. He gave four children opportunity. First of all, he gave four children that were born fatherless and motherless, the opportunity to become a child and to have a father and a mother. And they did that. You know, and I think about my dad could have had a great life, but he got us. I mean, he could have really been living the Ritzes. You know what I mean? He could have just traveled, he and mom, and he decided to get us. Now, they got me first, and I don't, for the life of me, one of my mysteries is I have no reason why they got three other children after they got me, because I was complete in myself and provided full entertainment for my father and mother. But they got three more that provided full entertainment too. But my dad and my mom, they prayed to be fathers and mothers, and that they have been all of their life since their first child. This week, I have been involved in fathering. Coming up this week, I celebrate 25 years of fathering. And I started out crazy, and I was really a kid. And Elizabeth and I had been married for 5 or so years, and we thought it might be a good idea to have a child. So it was a great time practicing, and then it happened. Seems like it was yesterday. I remember being in the delivery room. I remember what I was wearing. I had a pair of red trunks on because she went into labor in the summer on a lake weekend. I mean, I don't know why she couldn't wait until the fall. But I had a Conley. I still got that shirt. You won't let me wear it anymore, but I still got it. It was a Conley slalom ski tank top. And I had a visor turned around backwards. And Elizabeth delivered this baby. Now, see, what was freaky for me is we didn't deliver babies in our house. I'd never been through this process. My parents went to Dairy Queen and brought me back a brother and sister. Three times I got a hot dog and a brother, a hot dog and a sister, a hot dog and a sister. Oh, you know, I don't eat at Dairy Queen. Place scares me. I said, they're giving away kids in the back. I know they are. You remember that, Dad? You'd always bring me a hot dog. I don't eat hot dogs much anymore either because they remind me of my brothers and sisters. And so I became a father. I mean, I looked in the mirror. I remember I had Blake. And what was really cool, Coach is in here. I was really appreciative of my football days because, you know, you tuck the end to the shirt. That's the way you carry kids. And I remember coming out, Blake would fit, his head would fit here, and it'd make my elbow. And I remember the terror on my mom's face when I came through the delivery room doors there in the medical center. Boom, I gave the door a stiff arm, and I went, look, here he is. And my mom's going, oh, my God, help him. He survived for 25 years, and praise be unto God, now he's turned over to Rachel, and she's got him from here on out. Thank you. How many of you are glad when your kids leave? Okay, now fathers, I want you to know, what's this? This is tough. It's a tough part of this parable. Your job in fatherhood is to prepare your children to leave and accomplish. Your job in fatherhood is to prepare your children to leave and accomplish. If you want to see how you did fathering, it takes a few years because you got to wait till your children become adults and you'll really see what you put into them. One of the things we lack today is we do not put independence into our children. We have made them dependent on us. That is not the role of the father. The role of the father is to raise up. How many of y'all are glad that we got a God that raises us up to be his people? And then guess what? He sends us out to tell the world who he is. But fathers, listen, if you're a young father today, listen, and your wife, especially if you're raising a son, and your wife gets all tizzed up when you got to kind of put the line on a 4-year-old boy, let her know it will turn 14. And at 14, she'll be begging you to put the line on it. And at 16, she'll be looking at you going, what happened to him? I remember Blake comes down the dock and he had a reflection. Now, guess what? Here's the problem. Guess what? Fathers, here's the struggle. How many of you know that your children will pick up on some of the things you do? That's scary, isn't it? Now, kids, I don't know why y'all can't pick up on the good stuff. I mean, you got a 50-50 shot. You can pick up on the good things your parents do, or you can pick up on the not-so-good things they do. Guess what comes natural? Yeah, not-so-good things. Well, Blake came back from college, and he's got his visor turned backwards, and he's got this tank top on. He's got muscles coming out, everything. He's got something in his lip, and he's walking down the dock like this. And Elizabeth looks at me, and she goes, "What are you going to do?" I said, "What, is Hypocrite of the Year award up for something, honey?" And she goes, "I have seen that guy before." I said, "Worse than that, you married that guy." You know what? And he had a reflection of his father. Luckily, he got out of it. But you and I, listen, fathers, let me show you what we got to do. We got to reflect the Father who art in heaven. And mothers, in a real way, I'm going to tell you, you got to reflect the mother who art in heaven. I believe God's the ultimate parent. I believe that God's the greatest mother in the world, and I believe he's the greatest father. And we refer to him as fathers because the call of fatherhood is to direct vision. To direct vision. Write that down. I'm going to give you about four things today we learned from the Father. Let's look at the Father. And Jesus said there was a man, he had two sons. There was a man who had two sons. I mean, it's very common. A lot of fathers have two sons. They have sons and daughters. They have children. Fathers, to be a father, it is required that you have a child. Okay, so you have a child. So when you have a child, you have a responsibility. Absolutely. Let me bring that back. When you have a child, you have a what? Responsibility. Parents, young parents, let me wake you up. Your parents are not to parent your children. They're done. And when you get to the end, you'll be glad to be done. And if you're not glad to be done at the end, guess what you didn't do? You didn't parent along the way. First of all, parenting is exhausting. How many of y'all know parenting is exhausting? How many of y'all found parenting is exhausting? Why? You never get a day off. It's a 24/7 job. Now, parenting ought to change along the way. When they're little, that's intense parenting, isn't it? How many of y'all had to change the diapers? Hey, let me tell you what good fathers do. Guess what good fathers do? They change diapers. I finally figured it out. I could sometimes put a motor together and stuff like that, but I told Elizabeth I don't know how to work those diapers. So she just handed me to him. She said, "Learn." I stuck him under the hose one day. Yeah, figure out the diapers. Assist in the process of parenting. Let me tell you one thing I learned in the journey. When you start when they're little, when you invest when they're little, you'll have a relationship when they get bigger. So, fathers, it kind of works like this. You got to come off the sand trap for a while and get in the sand box for a while so you can go back to the sand trap later with your son or daughter. And don't get all upset when they beat you. If your son beats you, guess what, David? And you've had that experience more than once, as I have. Guess what you've done? A good job as a father. Fathers, let's set a vision. Our sons and daughters ought to be better than us. That ought to be your drive. So when you see them graduate from what you didn't graduate from, you need to go, yes! So let me show you how this works. Some of you coach in here. A lot of you have coached in here. I don't know about you all, but I have coached a lot of athletes that were a lot better than me. How many of y'all have done that? You've coached people that were better than you. So your job is to be the coach. Well, a father had two sons. Now, I want you to know what happens here. The younger son approaches the father, and here's what he says. "Father, I would like to have my share of the estate. I would like to have what you've prepared for me." Now, fathers, here's what I want you to know. You ought to give to your children opportunity. As a father, you ought to give your children opportunity. That's one of the things that you do. You create what? opportunity. Now, if you didn't have a good father and you had a father that didn't give opportunity, let me ease you down. God is giving you opportunity, because this parable is really about God. Who is God? He's a God of opportunity. How many of y'all realize that everybody in this room has the opportunity to get saved? Everybody in this room has the opportunity to be connected to heaven. Don't even listen to these preachers that tell you God didn't die for the world. He died for every living, stinking human being that is full of sin. Every one of them. Now, will there be people go to hell? Absolutely. Because some of you refuse your opportunity. Some of you have an absolute miserable life every day because you wake up in the morning and refuse your opportunity. You know the difference in a good day and a bad day is what you choose. You can wake up in the morning, you can look at everything that's wrong, or you can wake up in the morning and hold on to the couple of things that are right. Amen, Billy? You can keep going even when you've been a grandfather 200 times. It's opportunity. Now, the Father had given, He had prepared. Many of you have done a great job preparing. Many of you in this room at this particular service are watching your adult children do it right. But I want to encourage you, we got to encourage the next generation, because they're doing it right because you planted well. Now you say, what if I got a kid and we did the right thing and they went wayward? Chill out. You will not be judged on the results of your children. You will be judged on the opportunity you handed them. So chill out, parents. In fact, if you fathers, if you got one fixing to leave, here's what Blake and I did. When Blake got ready to leave the house, we went out and we ate, and I had him grade me out as a father. Blake's a football player. I was a football player, so we were used to grade sheets. So I had characteristics. I said, I need a grade. We graded it out, just like you would in college on a playing position. I ended up making an A. It wasn't a high A, but I got across the bar. And so I asked him, I said, so what you're telling me as a young man, you know what to do. He said, yes, sir. I said, from this point on, I'll never tell you what to do ever again. Now you got to go live out your what? Opportunity. Now look what happened here. Young son came and said, Father, I want my share of the property that's coming to me. And guess what the father did? Now, fathers, this is tough. This is tough. It's the toughest job as a father. He divided his property among them. And guess what he did? He handed it to them. Toughest moment as a father is when they leave the house. Because guess what? They're no longer in your house. In fact, I told Elizabeth, I said, I'm going to tell you what, 2-year-olds aren't half as bad as 22-year-olds. Because guess when they become 22, Jim, what? They're on home and you can't say anything to them. You make a suggestion and they say stuff like this. I know. And you answer back, you don't know nothing. You ain't got a clue. Now, why am I saying it? Because I'm old and I've already messed up. That's why, kids, the reason your parents are always intense is because they've already messed up on what you're fixing to do. And they don't want you to what? So they're like, ah! You know, when they say, don't date that guy, it's because they dated that guy. And there's not that many different types of human beings. Now, I want us to know, fathers, first thing on this Father's Day, check your give. We're to always be on the give. We're to be on the give. We have a God that's on the give. We have a God that's on the give. You're not in charge of the results, but you're in charge of the give. Well, let me give you some things we ought to be giving our families. First, vision. We've talked about that. Give them a vision. Now, warning. Warning, Will Robinson. You remember that old Lost in Space show? If you do, you're old. Don't give them what you want. Help them discover what God wants for them. That's tough. How many of y'all have ever seen these fathers, Coach, I know you have, that try to live through their children? Oh, it is so gross. I have coached kids that don't have an athletic bone in their body. There's a reason. DNA is serious. And you look at their father, and the father never had an athletic bone in the body, and the father's over there trying to make their kid what they never were. If you've been a father like that, grow up. If your child plays the piano, you make more music, you make more money doing music than you do athletics anyway. Go to the piano recital and say, man, one day he's going to be down in Nashville. Hallelujah. Don't try to make your child you, but help them find the opportunity that they are. Take Clacy, for instance. She's smart. I had no idea what that was like. She naturally wanted to read books. I never naturally have ever wanted to read a book. But guess what? My job's not to make her like me. I didn't say, hey, Clacy, hold on. You got to be like me academically. I said, this is what God's given you. And even though I don't understand it, my job is to do what? Fan the flame. Amen. That makes sense. The father gave him his estate. And parents, then guess what he did? Let him go. You know what parents can't do today? Let go. I asked Blake. I said, Blake, why did you leave this house when you were 18 and get on with it? He said, no option. Come on. I just want to give you a heads up. You want to see our teenagers straighten up? You know why they're messed up? Why'd you buy them a car? What'd they do to earn the car? You want to know why we got so many welfare junkies today? We created them. We've raised two solid generations that believe this like gospel, that they deserve something because they breathe. And educators, you enforced it. Because instead of giving them an F, you passed them. Now, I'm not getting on you because you had to, because state regulations, and you would have 1,400 protest groups because you're being mean to people that are stupid. How many of you notice even when you're nice to stupid people, they end up being stupid? How many of you realize there's got to be a consequence? Guess what he did, Shane? He let his boy go. One day you'll have a little Blankenship running around, and he'll grow up, and you'll have to say, son, these are the things you've been given. Go do well with them. You know, that's what God tells us. Now, here's what I want you to know. Did you realize that one day we're going to have to give an account for what God gave us? If God gave you a beautiful wife, you need to love her like the Lord loves the church. If God gave you children, you need to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. If God gives you a gift, go use that gift. And one day we'll stand before God, and this is what you should want to hear this. Well done, good and faithful servant. And he said, but Lord, I had a renegade child. He goes, yeah, I got a bunch of them. But they came back to what is good. Make sense? Now, look what happened. We're not going to dwell much on the younger kid to two Sundays from now. And the younger one, he took off. And guess what he did? He went to wild places. And it tells us in the Bible that he squandered his wealth and his opportunity. He spent everything he had. There was a famine that came in the land. And he's busted. Because if you live recklessly, you will crash. How many of you realize that living without wisdom ends up in foolish life? You crash. Everybody crashes. It doesn't matter if mom and daddy's there. You're still going to crash. It doesn't matter if mom and daddy tells you, well, you're the best little kid in the world, even though you made all F's. I'm just telling you right now, if you're making all F's in a public high school in the state of Kentucky, you're trying to do it. You have to make an effort to fail today, because we pass you no matter what. My children never made F's. Because they never wanted to see what it would be like to come home with one. True, Clacy? Because as a father, I also believed I was to be the blessing of God and the instrument of the wrath of God. So that my children would have a full perspective. Because you know what? Come on, guys. As you raise kids, let me tell you what. One day somebody is not going to like your child. Mothers, and guess what? Guess what mothers do? Guess what mothers do? They let fathers father. Blake and I had a couple of situations along the way. Elizabeth just walked in the house. I never will forget the day Blake learned to ride a bicycle. He had bugged me all week long. I was busy that week. He bugged me all week long. I want to take training wheels off. I want to take training wheels off. He's about 5 years old. I took the training wheels off. First 10 feet, he falls and skins his knee. And guess who he runs to? Runs over there to Elizabeth. I said, get back on that bike. Dude, I'm hurt. I said, I'll tell you when you're hurt. Now, I know some of you therapists are going to think I'm awful. Look at my results and not my approach. So we got back on a bicycle. He went another 15 feet. Guess what he did, David? He fell in again. We got the other knee. We got two knees scraped now. Guess what I want him to know? You going to scrape your knees, boy. By the third fall, Mom just looked. She said, I can't figure you two out. She went in the house. She looked at me and she says, you're going to really mess our children up. I said, yeah, I might do it. But I tell you one thing, he ain't going to grow up soft. He may be messed up, but he isn't going to be soft. If he's messed up, he's going to be hardcore messed up. Guess what happened? After a while, we learned how to ride that bicycle. He rode it all day long, up and down and round and about and down the woods and up the hill. He came in about 7 o'clock. It was in the summertime. We were upstairs in the bedroom, and he comes out and he gives me a big hug because he and I went at it pretty good. He is holding on to his mama. Now, listen, I lovingly snatched him and brought him back on. I said, get on that bicycle. He said, do I got to? I said, yes. Can you imagine such harsh behavior to actually expect a child to accomplish, to not let them back off the first time it stings and it hurts and there's a scrape and there's a bruise? Because guess what I know? I'm a daddy. There's scrapes and bruises in life. And there's consequences. But when you learn to balance, you can ride. Boy, he rode, he came in, he gave me the biggest hug. You get a few of these along the way. Not many, but a few of these. He jumped up in my arms. He hugged me around my neck, gave me a big kiss on my cheek. I kissed him on the cheek. I said, boy, I'm proud of you. You learned how to ride that bicycle. I said, you a big boy now. He's sitting up there like he said, I am a big boy. I said, you're tough, too. He said, you're right, I'm tough. He looked at his mom. He said, I'm tough, Mom. Elizabeth looked at us and she said, I will never figure you two out. She never has. But you know what she was? She's a great wife, because guess what she let me do? She let me be a father. Oh, I have to walk away. Sometimes the men will try to be fathers and here you women are. Sometimes you got to be a father. I had to be a father to Clacy one time. Clacy sent me a great birthday card. She said, Dad, I'm the only daughter that's been raised like a football player. She said, I don't know if other dads coach their daughters, but you have been a good coach. Thanks for making me. I love this. She said, thanks for making me tough. Father's part of it's to give to your kids, and I don't know what they're going to do with what they've given me. That's the great mystery. I got to trust God. And you know what? Let me tell you what you got to do, though. You got to so raise them that they got a safe place to come back to. You know what you're doing right now in parenting fathers? You're creating home base. So the second thing you got to do is you got to give to them, and you got to provide a foundation. Shane, let me tell you what happened. Look at this verse. A famine hit the country, and guess what the father said? He was a great provider. The son goes bottom up, loses everything he ever had, loses everything. Note this, loses everything the father gave him. There's a famine in the land. He's in a pig lot, and here's what he says. But when he came to himself, or came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough to eat? Fathers, I'm not going to take you off the hook. If you a dad and you're laying around the house and you never go to work, you know what the Bible says? You're worse than a reprobate and an unbeliever. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You take it for what it's worth. Fathers, provide. There ought to be a place to eat. Yes, that's the part of the responsibility of the father. Mom, is that your responsibility? No. It's the father's responsibility. Now, thank God y'all help. Amen. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But fathers, we're providers. We go to work. I mean, no wonder our children are messed up. Guess what? We got a generation of children never seen their father go to work. Do you realize that? Coach and I have coached kids, Coach, for 18 years of their life. Not one day have they seen what? Their father opened the door, and well, a lot of them don't even know where he is. But we'll open the door and walk out and go to work. Now, don't overwork, but work at it. This father had worked and had a place of provision so that when this son messed up, he had a place to go refresh. Fathers, make sure your house is always a place to go what? Refresh. You can come home. Now, let me end on this. You know what fathers do? They stay with it, Betty Lois. Kid messed up. In fact, he said, I'm going to go to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I've messed up. I've blown it. How many of you boys ever messed up yet? Y'all old enough to mess up yet? Yeah? You ever had to come back in and say, Mom, Dad, I blew it, man. I messed up. I did exactly what you told me not to go do, and I went and did it, and it's messed up. I had to give that speech more than once. You know what my father always did? Now, this is interesting. Here's where he's different than a lot of you all. He never excused me of my consequence. But he always asked me this question. What did you learn? Guess what else he did? He never, Jack, put a pillow under my fall. He let me hit the ground. He let it scrape. He let it bruise. He let me go work part-time jobs to pay for things that I'd messed up. And guess what I learned? This is interesting. If you will pay the stupid tax early, you don't have to pay as much stupid tax later. What's this boy paid? He's wasted all his money. What is that? Stupid tax. Really, if you want, he went and lived foolishly. That means he made unwise decisions. That means he did things that were not responsible, and he ended up in an irresponsible situation. He was eating the food of slaves. And he said, I'm going to go to my father's house. At least there's provision there. Fathers, make sure you provide. Third thing is this. Fathers, always be there. How many of you realize we got to always be there? How many of y'all have ever had your kids tick you off to the point you don't even know if they were yours? I've had that. I've been mad at my kids. How many of y'all have been mad at a son or daughter? Any fathers have been mad at your kids? Man, I've been mad at my kids. Clacy and I can go pretty good rounds. She looked at me one day and she said, I don't like you. I said, I don't like you either. And she said, then I guess we don't like each other. I said, I guess not. But I said, guess what? That doesn't change you being my daughter and me being your father. And then I looked at her, I said, but I'm going to tell you one thing. She goes, what? I said, I'll always love you. How many of you fathers, even when you're in dislike, you need to be in greater love? You know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. God does not always like us. Boy, that's a different tune, isn't it? But see, we sang today what God does. He always loves us. My dad didn't always like me. He tried to put vision in my life. I can smell the library of Belleware Ayers and Moore in my senses forever and ever. I would be called to the library for correction. It was legal books in there. It was bad. Volumes of books, how to put people in jail. In that law library, I remember I was 16, 17 years old, and he looked at me and he said, have you given any thought what you might do with the rest of your existence other than play football, drive fast cars, and chase women all the time? I said, if there's a career in that, I'm heading that way. I remember, I got nailed. I looked around that law library and I said, well, let me ask you a question. You got to read all these books to be a lawyer? He said, yes. I said, mark that off the list.
Come on.
About 15 years later, he walked in my study and he goes, you got to read all these books to be a preacher? He said, the Lord got you, didn't he? In fact, I went to school longer than it would have taken me to go to law school and make a lot less. I should have said I'd have been a lawyer. Then I'd probably be in jail by now. See, God has a plan. You know what the father did? He stood at the driveway, Chuck. And guess how long he stood there? Long enough. So, Chuck, guess what? Keep standing. Some of y'all just keep standing. It didn't say how long he was gone. It didn't say all the things that he'd gotten into, because it didn't matter what he'd gotten into. He got into enough to wreck his life. But after he had wrecked his life, this is God Almighty right here. Because you and I wreck our lives. Left to our own senses, what do? Become senseless. Left to our own senses, we all become senseless. All of us, not some of us, all of us. Oh, let me tell you, let's end here today. Fathers, make sure your arms are open and your feet are ready. Because the sons are coming home. And the daughters are coming home. And if you're a young father, Martin, you're a young father. You're still a young father. You're a young trim father now. And guess what? Make sure these boys have vision. And refuse nothing less than a great man for them. If they're not going to be a great man, it's going to be their fault. Now, they may choose to be less than that, but it won't be on my account. That's why I live so free. My kids go broke, they ought to be. When I was broke, it was my fault. I had been given opportunity and I had squandered it. But guess what? My dad always had open arms, not open checkbook. Open arms. Yes. And for some reason, Timmy, he could always find me another job. None of them beautiful. I'm telling you, I thank God every day for the way I was raised. I was in this little preacher meeting, and, you know, they like to psychoanalyze preachers. They said, who was your mentor? They thought I was going to say some famous preacher. I said, my dad taught me how to be a pastor. And I said, by the way, he did a better job than the seminary, all the conferences, and all you little preachers have ever done. Because he taught me how to be a man with integrity, with purpose, with vision, and without excuse. I said, the more I read the Bible, that's the man I see in the Bible. I don't see some cotton candy, mealy-mouthed, non-visionary leader. I see somebody with God's divine purpose that keeps saying over and over again, don't go to hell. Come to the house. You know where the father was? Open arms. You know what the boy had done? Wrecked his life. You know what the father did? Welcomed him back. Father's last thing, be the welcome wagon. Welcome your children to great things. Amen? And that means this, guess what? When they mess up, sometimes you got to open those arms. And when they start all that stuff, I'm unworthy. Listen, don't ever let your child tell you they're unworthy. That's a lie. That's a lie. How many of y'all realize there's no such thing as an unworthy human being? Come on, hear me. Hear me in the name of Jesus. God made you. God created you. God's watching you. God has redeemed you with great mercy and grace. And God loves you no matter what. His father stood there with open arms, and guess what he said? Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on the feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Hallelujah. We having fillets tonight. He didn't get no hamburger helper. He didn't bring in some sloppy Joe. He didn't have fake Kool-Aid and fake Oreos like the church used to give you in vacation Bible school. You remember those, Bart? Probably why we have medical illnesses today. Just nobody's discovered that yet. Clancy, check that. And you know what he did? He realized this. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to celebrate. Fathers, happy Father's Day. May you do this always. May you celebrate what God's given you. So guess what? I thank Elizabeth every morning for staying. And I wake up in the morning, I say, hey, I'm glad you're here one more day. She's put 30 years of those days together. I'm glad you're still here. The greatest thing that I've ever gotten to do on the face of the earth is be the husband to Elizabeth and to be a father to Blake and Clancy. And I hope you feel the same way about your family. That's the greatest position. Because guess what? When I walk it all the way down, Mark, and it's all said and done, Pastor Jamie, one day there's a last day. You know what I mean? Guess what? Elizabeth and Blake and Clancy will be more disturbed about my absence than anybody. Some will walk by and say, man, I'm glad he is finally quiet. Some will say, I'm glad he's gone. Some will say, he's mean. Some will say, he's nice. Some will wonder if he is for real. And only God knows, Betty Lois. Open your arms, dads. Happy Father's Day. Always welcome with compassion fatherhood. And by the way, it's a lifelong job. As you become an older father, guess what you do? You whisper wisdom. And as a younger father, you better bring it. And when they're out of line, your job is to pull them with compassion back in line. Amen. But parents, let me help you. It's okay to pull them back in line. I went to the grocery store. I've been going to the grocery store a little bit with Elizabeth. I've been learning a lot. I haven't been in the grocery store in 30 years. It's crazy in there. Elizabeth had to take me out the other day. I about came unglued. A three-year-old. I mean, sassing her mama, just taking her mama apart. And guess what her mama was doing? Elizabeth looked at me and she said, don't you go over there and say anything. I said, Elizabeth, let me tell you what, I could do that woman a favor. I could heal that child right now. I mean, just like Jesus, I could walk over there and heal that child instantly. It's amazing. I coach all these kids and it's amazing. Mothers, I've heard this 1,000 times. Here comes these moms. Coach Ayers, you know, my child's been diagnosed and it's got 14 alphabets connected to it, you know. And they go, and he listens to you. I look at one mom, I said, the reality of death will do that to people. It will cure all their diseases. She goes, what'd you do? I said, he never follows the rules. You know, David, you've coached those kids. They never follow the rules. Whatever you said, they're going to do the opposite. So I just bent down at one of them one day and I said, you know what? You betting that I'm a rule follower. He goes, well, you can't hit me. I said, only if I follow the rules. But I said, I may be like you and break the rules. And he goes, well, I could sue you. I said, no, you can't sue a preacher. Now, I lied, but he didn't know any different. So he wasn't smart. You know what he did? I was running an experiment. He straightened up and started listening. You know why? Because it's the first time in his life somebody had given him a boundary. A lot of y'all are doing foster kids. You know what I'm amazed? It's amazing, these kids that are supposed to be wayward, how disciplined they become when they're actually disciplined. Parents, we need to repent today of wanting our children to like us. Let's get a new view of parenting. We got one mission. May my children love the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be given opportunity, and may they become everything God wants them to be. So even if they hit the pig lot, they'll come back home. How many of y'all hit the pig lot at least once? Come on, let's take a real survey. Get with me. How many of y'all at least, now even some of you holy people, y'all walked by it though, didn't you? How many of you holy people went like this? You walked by the pig lot and you peeked. And some, like myself, walked in it. How many of y'all have ever walked in it? David, you've literally walked in one before, hadn't you? An old pig lot. David's one of our great resident farmers here. David, pig lots are not the most attractive place, are they? Especially back in the old days. Before we raised pigs like we do in the modern day. Today, you know what? They're even working on pigs not stinking. We've come a long way. But how many of you all today, if somebody said, hey, we want to move in the neighborhood next to you, and we'd like to open up a pig lot. How many of y'all said, man, I am so thankful that you're bringing a pig lot next to my house. Well, guess what, fathers? You learned something today? Give vision and opportunity. Prepare them to leave. Love them at all times. Give to them and quit being guilty about what they do with it. And when they mess up, open arms of compassion. Come back home. Amen? You know why I'm able to say that? You see, we all have messed up. And there's a Father that gives us opportunity to be saved. And there's a Father that watches over our lives. And that Father gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can live. And when we go wayward, He brings us back with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that presence of the Holy Spirit, He brings us on the right road. And so today, guess what? If you've messed up, I want you to know you got a great Father. If your Father's already in the great cloud of witnesses, then you need to be a testimony to His fatherhood. That's the way you celebrate Father's Day. And guess what? If you had an absolutely rotten father, I want to give you an opportunity to have the best one I know. His name is God. His Son is Jesus. His power is the Holy Spirit, and the three are one. So do you realize today, let's go ahead and stand up. You realize today that you could come home today? Why don't you come home today? Why don't you come home today? Some of you today, for the first time in your lives, you need to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Guess what He's going to give you? Forgiveness? How many of y'all glad to be forgiven? Anybody in this room glad to be forgiven? Glad to be forgiven. Oh, let me tell you the truth. On the day of judgment, guess what? I'm going to act just like that boy. Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I messed up more than once. He's going to go, Ayers, would you shut up? And that daddy, who art in heaven, oh, Keith, how holy is His name. Amen. That daddy, he going to look at the angels, to each one of you guys, to each one of you, and say, bring me a ring. Bring me a robe. Bring me some shoes. This person is my daughter, my son, my daughter, my son, my daughter, my son. That's who you want to be. How many of y'all glad to be a child of heaven? Today, some of y'all need to get saved. Daddy, if you're not a believer, come be a believer today. Daddy, if you have not been baptized, be obedient. Dr. Blevins, it's this simple. If a father can't be obedient, he's going to mess up the rest of the house. I'm so glad I thank Jesus Christ for saving my miserable soul. Because I know what I'd have been without Jesus. Blake and I were watching Friday Night Lights. Old football movie came back a few years ago. Coach, remember we took the kids to see that, and that really wasn't the best movie for us to go see because they lost. And we were losing at the time. Blake looked over at me during that movie. He said, Daddy, if you didn't have Jesus in your life, you'd have been just like that father. I said, unfortunately, Blake, you're right. Because I would have tried to achieve what only God can do. Daddy, you want to celebrate Father's Day? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Love me. Children, you want to find the most exciting life? Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I'm home. I'm home. Mama! You won't trust your husband, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Make me the woman you've created me to be. You won't be the best businessman, the best scholar, the best whatever God's given you opportunity to be. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Some of y'all need to do that today. Some of y'all need to come and get baptized. Pastor Jamie, God wants people to be baptized, doesn't He? All of our pastors know that. Come on, let's get that done this summer. Let's get it done this summer. How many of y'all fathers, man, just thankful to get to be a father? God bless, I'm humbled by being a father. I'm humbled. I didn't know if God was going to give me children. He gave me two of them. Both of them better than I am. They've never seen me cry just because I don't like to do it. But I've cried. I got a little spot in the woods I go to. Apparently I've cried with joy. And I've cried in pain. But that's about being a father. Jamie, you know what I realized? Jesus has cried. But Keith, you know what I found about Jesus? He'll stand at the driveway long enough for you to come home. Some of you daddies need to hear that. You got wayward children right now. In the name of Jesus, happy Father's Day. Keep standing. It doesn't say this in the scripture, but I think it's there. You know who is standing by? You know who is standing by that daddy? Come here, Elizabeth. You know who is standing by that daddy? Come here. Look, anytime our children been in trouble, I've been like this, and guess who's been right there? That's what the driveway looked like. If it had been me and Elizabeth, the prodigal son, I'd say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to bust his rear end. And Jesus said, you know what she'd have said? Open your what? Fathers, open your arms today to things of Jesus. Dad, I want to challenge you to the altar today. Bring your beautiful family down here and thank God for them. Be a man. Say, God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. Did y'all realize, hey, do you dads realize nobody else has got your children but you? Those are the only two children, three children, four children, or if you're like Jamie, 10 children that God has ever made for you. Be that dad. Dad, my dad is here. He's alive. I love him. Dad, thanks for being a great dad. And I want you all to know, if you want to thank somebody for Hillview Heights Church, first of all, thank God Almighty. And secondly, you need to thank Catherine and Reginald Ayers, because this was not my idea of a career. But you know what? Remember the first sermon I ever preached, First Baptist Church, I was 16 years old, preached a sermon. My dad said, you're going to the pulpit with three words on the index card? I said, yes, sir. He goes, God help us. I got done preaching. My father came up to me. Some people got saved that day. That's what I was excited about. He said one sentence to me. You need to listen to what the Lord is going to show you. I said, what does that mean? He said, I said, listen. Yes, sir. We're not perfect. By the way, Dad, I wanted to end on this. Dads. Clancy, I'm not a perfect father. I can't be. Because there's only one of those. And he's here. I wasn't raised by a perfect father. I was raised by a good father. The best I can do, Brooks, is be good. I've made my mistakes along the way, Jim. I made my mistakes. I've had to apologize to my kids more than once for my stinking temper. But along the way, guess what God said? I'm going to be better in you than you can be. Grace and mercy. Father, bring those to the altar that need to be saved. Bring those to the altar that need to be baptized. Bring those fathers that are frustrated and don't think they can be a good father. Lord Jesus, right now, I pray you give them strength. You give them security. You give them absolute certainty that they're going to be better than they are. And Lord, may your compassion reign in us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, this altar's open. Let's come and pray with our families. Let's come and pray with our families. And let's let God touch this moment. Come on, church.